For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, there are a few things that Ovechkin hasn't done, not many, but he's never scored overtime game-winning goal in the playoffs. The puck is free, and a great chance for Pavelier. Ovechkin scores! Now he has that playoff overtime goal! What else can he do? Washington wins 3-2.
Behind the net to Scheifele. In front, shot, score!
Slot shoots. Save made through traffic by Blackwood. Blackwell scores! It's over! This series is tied!
Racing up ice. More for LA. Hits the brakes. Hits the trailer. Now McKinnon! And the Kings answer!
One word to describe last night in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Drunk.
That game
you,
in LA
you were the games.
Was like drunk. It was on a bender, that game in LA last night. Oh, and by the way, Duffer,
yes, sir.
Dallas's horn and LA's horn is the same horn as the third down Buffalo Bills style, like the So when you watch Dallas game now and LA game, all you'll be thinking is that's the same horn that the Bills use for their third down stoppage. Like, let's get loud.
Do you know this to be true?
My ears are telling me it is true. I have no idea if it is, but it sounds very similar.
I think the Dallas one is different. And nobody in the league hangs on to the horn longer than Dallas.
Yes.
Like, to the point of annoyance. And then some.
It's because their goal song is not that great. It used to be Dallas Stars.
Right.
Dallas.
Right.
It's like bad. Like, so hang on to the horn so that, you know, you don't have to play the game.
Speaking of bad, who was the worst player in the playoffs last night?
Ooh, okay. Good game. Trivia question. Let me see who was playing last night in the playoffs.
I'll give you 85 chances.
Oh, man. Like, who is 85?
No. I meant number of skaters, like in all the games.
Because the game we used to play in the locker room.
That's actually wrong. It's like 160. My bad.
Okay, but the game in the locker room used to be like if somebody did something to your sticks or whatever, you'd be like, "Who did that?" And it'd be like 17 chances or whatever. It'd be like, "Well, number 17." Like, that's who it is. So I was thinking, who's 85?
Right. I misled
you. Worst player in the. Oh.
He lost. By the way,
yeah, I'm trying to pick like somebody for the Oilers.
Yep.
And I want to say,
yep,
Evan Bouchard.
Nope.
He was bad.
Opposite end of the number spectrum.
A high number. Oh, you know who had a really, 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 really tough couple of shifts, and it was hilarious, was Victor Arvidsson. He was, not one him. Time he slid, he lost an edge, fell down, came back in the zone, got tripped, lost his stick, got back up, lost a glove, picked up a glove, picked up the stick, fell again. It was hilarious. I'm like, this guy, again, that game was drunk. So who has a high number? What, Skinner?
No.
No? Who?
I can't. You and I are going to have to work on this. We've had a season of spontaneity and immediate answers, and I feel connected with you. And,
yes.
And now I feel nothing. Jake Walman.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
He got taken. Like, that was not a penalty.
What? What are you talking about?
It hit the glass.
He had already.
Yes.
Committed more atrocities in one game. He. This is unbelievable. He was losing his mind on Kuzmenko after a whistle in the crease.
Yes.
Ragdolling, whatever, didn't get called. He couldn't calm himself down enough. And then the next shift takes a penalty when they were already down a man. Boom! They immediately score on the 5-on-3, yes. And it looks like the game is over. Then he proceeds to put the puck over the glass, and I don't care whether it was or it wasn't, but television broadcasts need to figure out a way to give us a better replay.
Yes.
Because watching that last night, I sure couldn't tell whether it actually hit off the glass and went out. So for 5 minutes, we sat there seeing Walman banging on the glass like a who knows what, trying to prove his point, and we got no good replays of it. So the league has to figure out a way to get replays.
Because, again, I feel like ESPN was having...
On the ice for the game winner by Deneau.
Yeah, he was. ESPN's having a rough go in the first going here of the playoffs. They had games on Sunday. Didn't have Saturday. It was TNT. So Sunday, Monday, they had the games. And you don't get replays. You don't get explanation. It's been rough. So I, luckily, because I, working in the league, we get NHL TV. So I'm able to bounce back on my computer from I went to the local broadcast. I went to the Sportsnet feed and they have many, many different looks. And I'm like, why isn't ESPN getting those looks? Like Jake Walman should have moved his feet, should have skated up the ice, should have shot it off the board, maybe the low glass or whatever. He decides to take it the lazy approach, not move, and then shoot it right off the top of the glass. It 100% clipped the top of the glass, Duffer.
But how do you know that?
Because when you see the one replay that Sportsnet was showing, you see the puck changing direction.
Then why did Toronto not have that replay?
I don't know. Maybe they said it was inconclusive.
Okay, but I don't understand that because you're adamant.
And
he was adamant, and I don't.
He was adamant, and Chris Knobloch is like, "I'm challenging," and he's not going to put his team down 5-on-3.
But he did, and they somehow survived, which allowed Edmonton to come back. That was the most miraculous 5-on-3 survival I've seen.
And the linesman that was right there, the linesman drops the puck, right? Mm-hmm. Faceoff gets one to Walman. Walman shoots it off the glass. It goes out. Walman kind of shows it to the glass. The linesman goes like this with the hand gesture. Tip off the glass, and then the referees all get together. And there's the other thing, too. From where Walman was, if he shoots the puck in the glass, in the stands directly, that puck's going to go 40 rows up, okay?
Where did it
ended
up
in the LA bench.
That's what meaning I thought,
It hit the glass and deflected up straight over and over. Like, physics tell you that if Walman, from where he is, and if it doesn't hit the glass, it's going to end up at the top of the 100 level. Like, not in the LA bench. So, I don't know. They screwed that one. They missed that one. But the Oilers somehow, miraculously, my problem was not that it was a 5-on-3. My problem is that you're running out of time to come back in the game. Because when that happened, there was 11 minutes left in the game, and you're down by 2. Well, they still managed to come back because they tied it at 5. And
weren't they down by 3 at that point?
They were down 5. Yeah, you're right. They were down 5-2. And then it went... Perry with 7 minutes. It was 5-3 at that point. It was just a minute after. They just scored to make it 5-3, and then those penalties happened.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
But anyway, it just, to me, that game was so drunk. The McDavid goal to make it 5-5.
You knew it was coming. It was so obvious it was coming.
It's so obvious it's coming.
And it ends up
being
a terrible goal from Kemper.
Terrible goal from Darcy Kemper.
Yeah.
Awful. And I'm like,
with every passing goal last night, he looked worse and worse and worse. And that's why I thought the Oilers were going to win it in regulation.
Yeah, and not only the goals look worse, he made a save one time that the puck was right next to him, like on his hip, and he's looking over his left shoulder, like, where is it? And he's got it. It's right there. Like, he was so shaky. Now, it's one game, and you can definitely kind of put it behind you. You won, right? And that's okay. But remember Connor Hellebuck last year? They won, what, 8-7 the first game against Colorado? And he's like, we won the game. I don't care. Well, they lost four in a row after that. So it's, you got to get your head on straight. But yeah, that game was a circus. Like, there was something happening every moment of the last period and a half, maybe, because the first period and so was very LA-esque. Like, there was nothing going on in the game.
Yeah, it's it's one of those ones. If you're LA and, like, you have to not be too critical of the fact that you won the game.
Yeah.
But there were some just horrific performances trying to close that game out. But again, the 5-on-3 power play could not have looked better. Their speed with which they were moving the puck, I don't know how they kept missing. And then the game winner is.
And how do you keep missing? Because Stuart Skinner couldn't stop a beach ball by.
But he got good, I thought, once it got to 5-2.
He made two or three big saves, but
it was really good. And then that's like nothing he can do on the winner. I think it's one of the worst game winning goals I've ever seen. Like, there's no velocity to it. There's an unintentional screen. There's a delayed reaction. Like, are you kidding me? That went in. Like, it was set up to be a nice goal. And then it turned it out being one of the ugliest.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. And I was thinking when that happened, so Fogel drives the net and stops about 2 feet short of the crease. Mm-hmm. But while stopping, it sends this big cloud of snow right at Stuart Skinner. And then he jumps to try to get out of the way. The puck is over-ender, like, you know, knuckle puck. It goes over. And I'm like, would the snow have affected the goalie in that situation? And I think it probably did a little bit, not enough that he couldn't have made the save if he would have had a good look at the puck and if it wasn't this knuckle puck. But it was, again, from start to finish, this was a weird one. Drew Doughty said after the game, I'm happy we won because that would have been a beeping way of losing, right? A game to lose.
Like,
Drew Doughty, did you see when... There was in the third period, Darcy Kemper covered the puck. Connor McDavid comes in and gave him a shot, like, you know, to get there. And Drew Doughty jumped on Connor McDavid, like grabbed him, and then realized, it's Connor. Played with him at the Four Nations. He's like my Team Canada, like, superstar. He would have punched anybody about 10 times in that situation. Mm-hmm. And instead, he was having a big smile in the scrum with Connor, just like, hey, bud, stay with me. Like, I'm like, I get it, you're friends or whatever, but you get Connor McDavid taking a whack at your goalie. Mm. That's a couple of punches. That's a free go. Like, go ahead. And maybe he's smarter than that. Maybe he thinks, if I punch Connor McDavid, I'm going to get a penalty because the referees are going to call it right away. But I felt like he wasn't emotionally in the game. That's how I felt with Drew Doughty.
Would you like a compliment?
I don't know. Go for it.
Are you good at taking compliments? Are you feeling like you'd like to receive a compliment?
I'll say thank you.
Okay. What is, I can't say the one thing I love about working with you, but what do you think I respect and appreciate the most about you as it pertains to in-game situations?
Oh, I have no idea. I try to think like the players. I don't know
the rule book. And if you have any doubt, you have it looked up within seconds and you provide incredible clarity. So my question to you is, would you be able to work on a national telecast when it seems like these networks rob broadcasters of common sense and they are forced to then ask an official rules analyst, hey, what is this? And like, I'm sorry, but I grew up in the world where if you're going to start broadcasting professional games, it was on you to know the rules. Yeah. So I'm sorry, but I don't like it when the play-by-play and the analyst turn to the rules expert and act as if they themselves don't know the rules. I think it comes across as really, really awful for the audience.
I know there's ways to interpret
the rule. Don't act like you don't know it.
I know that on WGR, like Shope and Bulldog and Jeremy and Joe, they don't like the rules analyst. They say this is a waste of time and whatever, and football especially. I kind of like the rules analyst because sometimes if you guide them in the right direction, they'll give you the right answer, the right situation, the right difference. They'll say, hey, we were at the, at a meeting with the officials and the league said, be careful with this. That's what I want to know. Give me the inside of the referee's mind at that moment. Don't give me the rule because as an analyst, you're supposed to know the rule. But I feel like yesterday, so Anthony Beauvillier, we're going to jump to Washington-Montreal game. Yeah, it's 1-0, shot from the point. Beauvillier tips the puck. It was very close to a high stick. It hits the goaltender. He gets his own rebound and scores. So, they're like, goal, and now they're like, oh, Montreal may want to challenge this. And they bring up Dave Jackson, rule analyst, and Ray Ferraro. I know Ray knows the rule, but I think Ray is being told, ask Jax what happens if they don't get it right. Is it a 5-on-3? Ray, it's a 5-on-3. They got a penalty for, that was the Edmonton one, but ask, the whole thing, like, oh, is it the shoulder or the crossbar? Ray, it's the shoulder. It's not a goal. Like, to me, that's where they use it wrong. Like, if you go to Dave Jackson, Jax, what about these camera angles? How hard is it for the referees and the situation room to know exactly where the puck is being hit because of camera angles? Yep. Now you're getting a referee's mind because the referee says, I'm talking to the NHL and I'm like, that camera angle looks high. This camera angle looks below the shoulders. How do we determine which angle we're going with? Like, this is a question you can ask a rules expert. Yep. Don't pretend like you don't know and then ask the question, because I feel like that's why people don't like it. Because people at home know the rules. Mm-hmm. Like, people that are watching the game know that.
But even if they don't, they trust the broadcasters to convey it in the moment and not sit around waiting for the analyst microphone to work and then ask them obvious question that we all know the answer to.
And like, then they had a moment yesterday.
Dumbing down is too much of society, and I hate it. Like, take pride in your work and just and be good. It's not.
And then they had a moment yesterday, Duffer, where because Dave Jackson is at home, he's not on location. He's at home in a studio. He's got all the games on. And then if there's a situation in the game, they are going to bring, so they can bring him up in the Washington game. They can bring him up in the LA game. They can bring him up in the Dallas game. So I think it was the Washington game after the Beauvillier high stick that resulted in a goal. And they're like, okay, Jax, thank you very much. And maybe 2 minutes later, you hear Dave Jackson in the broadcast. Well, in the playoffs, unless it's a game seven, you don't have a spare linesman. There was something that happened in a different game, but somebody pressed the button and opened up Dave Jackson's key. So now he's talking over the broadcast in a different game. Like, he's,
I know.
I think he was trying to, I think a linesman got banged up in the Colorado-Dallas game. But that was, so he was just saying, look, we had it last night where an official had to put the linesman's jersey on because there's not a spare linesman.
Right.
If it's a game seven, you get a spare linesman. But his talking to the Colorado-Dallas game went on the air during the Montreal-Washington game too.
Oh, yeah. It happens. Many of us have been there.
Wow. Okay. That was, the Montreal game. How about that, Duffer?
Yeah.
So
how about it?
The broadcaster jinx is always in effect, and it happens many times, and we have nothing to do with the game, but that's just the way it is. So Sportsnet is in intermission between the third period and overtime, and Ron McLean is talking about this, that, the other thing, and then he goes, oh, and also Alex Ovechkin has never scored an overtime playoff goal. Mm-hmm. He has 70 some goals in his playoff career, but never an overtime goal. Elliot Friedman right away goes, "Oh, Ron, if he scores an OT, the Montreal fan base is going to hate you." And sure enough, Ovechkin scores his very first overtime playoff goal. Mm-hmm. Kind of incredible that he's never gotten there. So what do? I'm like, well, I know I played game 7 against Washington his very first year in overtime, mm-hmm. but it was a short overtime. We went to power play and we scored pretty much right away. Mm-hmm. But there was another game in the series where we went to second OT. And then I looked at the shot on goal. I think he only had one shot on goal that overtime. So, I mean, if he'd had 4 or 5, I would have, you know, toot my own horn. But I think he only had one shot on goal in 2 overtime periods. So it wasn't that great.
That was the Capitals' horn.
Well,
I don't even know now that you've crushed
it's
me.
It's the It's the very loud like siren or whatever. Mm. What a game!
Caps were lucky. I think Montreal is perfectly fine. They were exactly the way they've been the last few months, and obviously same with Edmonton. I picked the Oilers only because I just didn't believe that the Kings could find a way, and I don't feel particularly confident about the Kings after the way that game went. Excited that they scored a bunch of goals. But, so moral of the story here is there's not a lot of separation between, you know, any teams in any series right now, which, like, I don't ever look at the playoffs anymore and think, oh, that's a clear-cut favorite. Like, I don't. I don't.
Or it's a sweep. Like, very, like, I never call for sweeps. Like, nobody sweeps.
But, however, there is one name that is not coaching in the playoffs right now who has been top of mind twice based on results in one particular series. Who is that?
Based on twice? I thought you were going to talk about Newsy Lalonde, Derek Lalonde, because yesterday Kevin Bieksa made a very sharp, funny comment about point shots on Vasilevsky, because remember last year he came out and said, no, that was after the Tampa. Anyway, he said, Vasilevsky's problems with point shots. We knew that in Tampa Bay, and John Cooper and the Lightning did not like that. So,
right.
So it's not him, because he's not only is he not coaching in the playoffs, he's not coaching the NHL right now. So that's Derek Lalonde.
His name did come up on the show in a different context yesterday.
Rick Tocchet?
Close. It was connected to that discussion. Mike Sullivan.
Oh, Mike Sullivan. Yes.
And why am I bringing this up? Because Kyle Connor has 2 game-winning goals.
And he didn't play.
And Mike Sullivan is now the modern-day Mark Crawford, who did not use Wayne Gretzky in a shootout in the Nagano Olympics in 1998. The greatest goal scorer in National Hockey League history, until very recently, was not used in a shootout. Dominic Hasek won the game, won the gold. And granted, the Four Nations is not the Olympics. I still don't know how Kyle Connor was held out of the championship game, and whether this is in any way connected to his clutch abilities in the first 2 games of this series. But he's
always a lot of player stuff heard that.
And good for Kyle Connor. I want the Blues to win this series, but if it's not going to go their way, I'm really happy that Kyle Connor is the difference maker.
I mean, what a play in that game-winning goal, a tight 2-1 game. And Connor Hellebuck, a big bounce-back effort by him. I didn't think he was good in game one, despite the fact they won 4-3. And he was really good yesterday. Kyle Connor was huge, but Kyle Connor didn't play in the final game at the Four Nations face-off. Mark Scheifele wasn't selected for Team Canada, and he has been fantastic. Nick Suzuki wasn't selected for Team Canada. He has been fantastic. Look, that game yesterday. So Washington has Pierre-Luc Dubois. And when Washington acquired Pierre-Luc Dubois, they said his best spot on the team is to be that top line checker. Like you play against the top line on the other side. He was really good against Suzuki, Caulfield, and Slavkovsky the whole game. Mm-hmm. In the third period, Suzuki line draws a penalty. They score on the power play. And then when they scored to make it 2-2, who wasn't on the ice? Pierre-Luc Dubois. He was on the ice for about 90% of Suzuki's shift in the game. But the one shift that he needed to be on the ice, he wasn't. Suzuki scores a goal to make it 2-2. If that overhead camera of all the players, Logan Thompson included, sliding out of the crease and into the crease and out of the crease was, again, very comical. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think when you look at Suzuki not playing on Team Canada, Shifley, Connor, there's a lot of guys that have stepped it up after the Four Nations faceoff. Maybe the rest was good and the little chip on their shoulders was really good as well.
Well, to counter that, both were excellent before the tournament and after.
And that's why
Canada clearly
did
not make any wrong decisions because they won the tournament. The only reason this is a point of emphasis is because the U.S. didn't win and they didn't use arguably their best, most consistent, beyond like an Austin Matthews, goal scorer in the NHL in the last 8 years.
And they didn't have Tage Thompson. So they're like, hey,
yeah, but
you
Tage
know
is
what?
Not Kyle Connor. Kyle Connor's body of work and consistency is unbelievable.
But if you have other guys on your team that can put the puck and fill the net and there's 40 goal scorers, you're like, okay, Kyle Connor, you know what? You're going to sit that one out because I don't like the way you're playing. But you have one game, not a best of seven game, one game. And you want to put all the, you know, your eggs in the same basket and you'd leave him out. Anyway, he was great. You know, Winnipeg has looked really good. St. Louis, Jim Montgomery after the game, it's all about, hey, the shots are about the same. The scoring chances are about the same. They made one more play than us in each game. That's basically what it is. Now St. Louis is going home. That series could go long. That series could go really long, St. Louis, Winnipeg. And it could be done in four. I'm not saying like, but it's so tight that it's one play that changes the game, you know, and it did that in the first two.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are deep. They're able to withstand the injuries on their side. I think the Blues aren't as deep, so the lack of Holloway is more impactful just within their group. It, of course, on the surface, it's like, oh, both teams are missing guys, so you got to get over it. And that's why Winnipeg was the top team in the NHL. They have tremendous depth, and it is showing once again. All right. We never really got into Amherst legend Colin Blackwell scoring in overtime last night. We'll do that when we come back. Who emerges as the new hero in Bandit Land? Friday night, the quarterfinals begin, and it is Buffalo and San Diego. Get your tickets now. Bandits.com/tickets. There is nothing like this experience, let alone the fact the Bandits are two-time defending champs, six-time champions overall, and they were nail-biters against San Diego in the two meetings this year. So just an incredible night awaits at KeyBank Center on Friday. Can't wait to see you in Bandit Land. We're back after this.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Amerks are opening up the playoffs this Friday at home against Syracuse. Much more on that, not only today, but throughout the course of the week as we build towards game one against the Crunch. Incredibly, based on the impact he had and the memories he made, it's worth noting that Colin Blackwell was only an Amerk for one season. And he finished second in team scoring to Zach Redmond that year. And last night he had his incredible shining moment with the Dallas Stars. His first ever playoff game winner. It was in overtime as Dallas evened the series with Colorado. What a game.
I do believe Colin Blackwell wore number 43 in Rochester He made me proud last night when he took advantage of a, I'm going to say it, lazy Mackenzie Blackwood, because Blackwood just sat there on his knees while the puck is in front of him. Like, you got to get up, man. You got to get up and make yourself look big because you're stayed there looking so small. And Mackenzie Blackwood was in the blue paint, and Colin Blackwell came in and just saw so much net. Walked in, and I was impressed because that line for Dallas was technically their fourth line. Well, they didn't play like their fourth line. They had five shifts in overtime. They played more than the actual Kiviranta line. So they were more like the third line. And I think that was, because they were going and, Pete DeBoer realized, look, they're flying. I got to play them. And they rewarded him with a big goal.
He's 32. He was never drafted. Never expected to get beyond the American Hockey League, for sure. Nashville gave him a chance after he was with Milwaukee, after being with the Amerks. And from that point on, he's appeared with the Predators, the Rangers, the Kraken, the Leafs, the Hawks, and now Dallas. And he's almost at 300 NHL games, which is quite a feat when you start late and have zero expectations of lasting. So couldn't be happier for Colin. And obviously now, like, what's your take on that series with Landeskog waiting in the wings?
Well, Landeskog is playing game three. And I don't get it. I guess they said Landeskog wanted to do a game pregame routine. And, he hasn't played in the NHL in 3 years or whatever.
Yep.
But it doesn't go away. I don't know. If he's ready to take warm-up, he's ready to play. I guess he wasn't fully ready to play. Or maybe Colorado felt, hey, we won a game in Dallas. Maybe we get out of here with two wins. It gives us some time to let, Landy just, kind of get better or get to be closer to 100%. Because I still don't think he's 100%, but it's going to be an emotional boost. I felt like he was playing last night, and I was surprised when he didn't. But the experts all said they thought game three in Colorado was going to be when we were going to see Gabe Landeskog. So I think this is when Big 92, their captain, is going to come in.
I will warn against riding that cliche. I think many times the perceived emotional boost does not translate to wins.
Yeah.
And we'll see. This is a great matchup. Dallas had lost 8 games in a row, regular season and playoffs combined, before pulling that one out after trailing after 2 periods.
Yeah.
They
like Tyler Seguin's boost didn't materialize.
Seguin looks really good.
Yeah, but it didn't materialize in the last game of the year and the first game of the playoffs. But maybe over time it works for Dallas. I think maybe over time Landeskog will have more of an impact with Colorado.
Might only get 3 games though.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he gets only 3 games. You don't know. Matthew Tkachuk tonight. Let's see how that works for Florida. Is this an emotional boost, or is Tampa going to walk all over Florida and all of a sudden you're like, you know what? Matthew Tkachuk is not 100% and makes a difference. We don't know that. I feel like in the room there is an emotional boost, but when you get on the ice and you got 2-3 shifts going, 100%. It's out. Like, you got to play the game.
Yeah, and I'll say this, like, again, with the low-hanging fruit and storylines, we understand this. We live in this world, so we see it and know it. I could have used less talk about Rantanen last night, given the fact that Dallas was losing because everybody else with Rantanen not living up to their expectations. Like,
yeah.
And so guess what? They all started getting around it in the third period. And they got it to even and got it into overtime. I mean, they could have won it earlier in overtime. Mackenzie Blackwood had an unreal save on Marchment with the right pad. And again,
Marchment's body language all game was so funny, Duffer. Like, he had the one goal. He's like, shoot. And then he took a penalty. He's like, Like, his body language was incredible all game. It made me laugh. Like, again, moments that I was laughing out loud yesterday watching the games. Mm-hmm. Mason Marchment was one of those. I'm like, he's having a tough go. Well, he ended up with a pretty good game. Like, he was very involved in all aspects of the game.
Who's going to be the next coach in Seattle under GM and EVP Jason Botterill?
Well, I would think that now that the Rick Tocchet news came down yesterday that they're not going to exercise his option. They still want to sign him, but Rick Tocchet was only he's making less than $3 million. You don't think Vancouver, you're going to get Rick Tocchet for less money than what you had him on the option.
They said they were going to give him a richer deal, Marty.
I get that, but they weren't going to take the option. I don't, like, to me, it's speaking on both sides. And we're not going to take the option, but we want to give you more money. Like, you're letting Rick Tocchet be a free agent. And I think Seattle is going to be calling Rick Tocchet. I think the Rangers are going to call Rick Tocchet. The Flyers are going to call Rick Tocchet. Everybody that's got an opening is going to call Rick Tocchet, just like Craig Berube was the guy last year. And do I think that's the style of the Seattle Kraken to go after Rick Tocchet? No, but maybe that's what they have to do. Look, Jason Botterill now is the GM there. I'm very, very surprised they let go of Dan Bylsma. And
really?
Yes, because he was there 1 year.
He was there 1 year.
Yeah, but did you see their roster? Like, come on. Like, it's not like you're giving them all the opportunities to be able to get better. I feel like Seattle's roster took a step back. Shane Wright was pretty good this year. Berniers was okay. Like, there was some, you know, they didn't have goaltending. Like, Decord was fine, but Grubauer's awful. Like, it just...
Yeah, but DeCord's number one. You don't even have to worry about Grubauer anymore.
DeCord's, I know, but they played Grubauer early and it didn't work, and they put themselves into a tough, big hole. I think Bylsma, 1 year, look at everything that he's done for your organization. Coachella, building the prospect, comes up, you give him 1 year. I'm very surprised. I still think, personally, I think Dan Bylsma is a really good coach. He's proven it many different times. Yes, Buffalo did not work well. He had 2 years in Buffalo. There was the first 2 years of Jack Eichel. And there was a lot of internal stuff that happened in the locker room and whatever. Feels like Dan Bylsma, to me, is a very demanding coach. Has a lot of plays, a lot of systems, a lot of meetings and whatever. You have to have the right team for that. When he was in Pittsburgh, he had Sidney Crosby as your leader. Sidney Crosby was like, I want meetings. I love hockey. You want me to be at the rink 24 hours, seven days a week? I'll be here. And you know what? If somebody complains, I'm going to tell them I'm Sidney Crosby, and that's the way it's going to get done. And it worked in Pittsburgh. Well, you got to have the same thing everywhere.
But it didn't, though, because that's why he was let go and didn't have the ultimate staying power.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why he was let go, because he didn't have somebody to say, we're in Bylsma's camp. What he's doing is the way we're going to get better. It didn't happen in Buffalo, and it didn't happen now in Seattle after 1 year. I'm very surprised he was let go.
You never answered the question, who's going to be Botterill's coach?
Well, I did say they're going to call Rick Tocchet.
Right, that's not the answer I'm looking for.
I think there's going to be a Gerard Gallant push this summer. And I would see him go to Seattle. I think there's going to be a Gerard Gallant push this summer.
Why are there never any new coaching names on the horizon that are tip of tongue for any of us?
The Kraken kind of did a little bit of that because they had Axtell there for a little bit.
And
they
went with Bylsma.
Yeah, but Axtell was not a guy that had been in the league 15 years, right? Like it was okay, he was with the Flyers. Now he's a college guy. He's still got that new vibe to him. Bylsma, the last time he was in the league was like 8 years ago.
Right. And he Which is why I'm not surprised AHL that it only lasted 1 year, because I think, unfortunately, his last years in the NHL prior to this one follow him. And I never looked at that team thinking that they've got it all together. And there's a million reasons for it. And you mentioned goaltending. So this is not a dump on Dan Bylsma segment. But I am not surprised in the least that they made this change. Nor am I really surprised that they elevated Botterill based on how long he's been connected there. But anyway, Penguin connections run deep. That's why the Tocchet thing is I guess I'm just asking, and you can...
And then you're going to go to Mike Sullivan again, because if Sullivan
he's staying,
misses out,
everything says that he's staying. So
he's staying. But if they make a change, because if Pittsburgh decides to call Tocchet and Tocchet says, I want to coach Sid and the Pittsburgh Penguins to new heights, they'll walk away from Sullivan right then.
Yeah, I don't think that would ever happen, but I'm just saying, to disagree.
It's a potential.
All I'm saying,
it's potential.
If you want to punt your answer to the end of this show or tomorrow, let me rephrase the question. Who is the next Spencer Carberry that the Seattle Kraken can hire? So hang on that one. Let's move north.
Spencer Carberry was an NHL assistant coach
and
when
AHL
he got hired.
Head coach prior.
AHL head coach prior, but then when NHL assistant came back.
Give it some time. You're good at this, and I know you'll come up with a great answer, but I would like to shift just slightly north of Seattle and the Hughes situation. Which has actually been percolating through the entire year, even though he's got years to go on his deal.
Two.
Because of how dysfunctional it was in Vancouver this year, you already started to hear, they might not be able to keep Quinn Hughes for much longer than his current contract runs. And how would you describe the commentary from the Canucks management yesterday pertaining to the Hughes situation?
So Jim Rutherford was speaking, and next to him is Patrick Alvin, the general manager. And Jim Rutherford is the president of hockey operation. And Jim Rutherford, I think, put his foot in his mouth by going like, well, with Quinn, they asked about Quinn Hughes and his future. And he says, well, with Quinn, it's not going to be about money. He's made it clear he wants to play with his brothers. So we're going to have to get his brothers here for him to stay here. So then somebody mentioned like, ew, that may be a little, tough comment. The league may not like that. And Patrick Alvin is like, kind of trying to wheel him back in. So I don't think it's tampering. Listen, like Jack Hughes is under contract. If you say, I'd like to have Jack Hughes on my team, he's not a UFA. He's not an RFA. Luke Hughes is different, but even that, I think the comments are fine. He basically wanted to say Quinn Hughes wants to play with his brothers. Here's my point to all of this. Sorry, Vancouver, but Jack Hughes has a long-term deal in New Jersey. Luke Hughes is already in New Jersey, and they're going to sign him to a long-term deal. The only potential of the three Hughes brothers playing together is in 2 years when Quinn Hughes is a UFA, he's going to say bye-bye Jets, and he's going to sign with the New Jersey Devils. Okay. That's how it's going to happen.
But so, it's not going to get there. Because if they know this, they're going to trade him this summer.
Well, they should.
Right. So Quinn Hughes for Nico Hischier and what?
Again, if you're the New Jersey Devils.
Nico Hischier is a perfect fit for the Vancouver Canucks.
He is, but why would the Devils do that?
Because they want the Hughes brothers to be even better than they are, which is already really amazing.
Could you wait 2 years and get them?
Do you not think the Devils need to have marketing?
Yeah, but do you think you can wait 2 years and get him for free as a UFA?
Because they'll trade him somewhere. No.
Even if they trade Quinn Hughes somewhere else, he's going to wait for his contract to be done, okay, and then he'll sign in New Jersey for... Sure. I'm just saying, I'm not giving Nico Hischier. You want a few first-rounders? You want a couple of prospects? I'll give you a package that's going to be great, but I'm not giving... You're screwed. Like, you are the Vancouver Canucks. Okay, your captain, Quinn Hughes, wants out. He wants to play with his brothers. You don't have the leverage here. I'm going to give you prospects and picks.
Okay.
I see what you're saying.
No.
Like, Vancouver would ask for Nico Hischier.
Equitable for both sides. I was not thinking rationally and how business is actually conducted inside of professional sports. So, now that you've taught me how I should be thinking, if I were the Devils, I would give Vancouver 6 years of first-round picks right now.
Yeah. Make it where you can do it where it doesn't matter to the Devils. Who cares?
You know what? Take the Tampa philosophy and give them the first, second, and third round picks for each of the next 6 years.
You know what? If you gave Vancouver your first, second, third this year and first, second, third next year, and maybe you throw a prospect, it would work. The only problem is the Devils don't have a first rounder this year. But give them first, second, third this year, first, second, third the next year, and first, second the year after, who cares?
Honestly, give them one of, like, there are a number of prospects they can throw in here.
Yeah. If you were to say Nico Hischier is in the deal, I think it's Nico Hischier and potentially do you think Dawson Mercer would have to be included in there?
Yeah. And here's the thing. The only reason I said it was because I'm trying to live in a live now in the moment. Like, I don't want to.
Okay.
We are reminded of this every day.
We have to go to break, Duffer. When we come back from break, I'll tell you what producer Jeff and I kind of crazy idea would have been. What is the market value, Sabres-wise, to acquire Quinn Hughes and then acquire Jack Hughes and Luke Hughes? Okay. What you would have to do.
Well, we got a break then and save time for that next on Sabres Live.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to Crazy Moment, last segment of Sabres Live, Duffer. Let's get crazy, like Prince says. Let's go crazy.
And Dom, Cup Crazy.
Let's go Cup Crazy 2000. What would it take for the Sabres to get Quinn Hughes, Jack Hughes, and Luke Hughes in separate deals? Okay,
I need you to tell me.
Okay, so first of all, you got to get Quinn Hughes from Vancouver. I mean, I hate to say it, and please don't go out running that Marty Biron wants this to happen. I'm having fun here. So you'd have to probably say it's Dahlin for Quinn Hughes, right? Like that would be the trade-off. And maybe you'd have to add a sweetener to Dahlin just because of what Quinn Hughes has done. But maybe if Vancouver is in a pinch and you say, we're doing Dahlin for Quinn Hughes, maybe they do it straight up. So we'll do it straight up.
Okay.
Okay. What do you have to turn around for New Jersey to get Jack and Luke? It has to start with Tage Thompson and Bo Byram.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. And then do you have to throw like a first rounder in there too as well somewhere?
Probably.
I'm saying at the very minimum, it's Dahlin, Thompson, Byram, probably Paterka, and a first rounder. So that's what you have to do to get those three players.
And would that make the Sabres better?
I don't think so. That's why I'm saying, like, I'm trying to find a mark, like an equal trade value, but I don't think it makes the Sabres better.
Do you think the three Hughes will play together in the NHL?
Yes. Yes.
If Quinn Hughes said it, do you think it could happen anywhere but New Jersey?
No.
Really?
I think it's New Jersey. I think that, you know, they're going to New Jersey. I think it's New Jersey or nowhere else.
I don't know. I think when the league expands again, that might be the prime opportunity for a team to launch with the Hughes. We're back tomorrow on Sabres Live.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.